Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this gorgeous Sunday morning. If you are a visitor with us, we want to extend a very special welcome to you and hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience with us this morning. I want to ask that members and visitors alike please register your attendance as the attendance pads are passed down the pew. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we would like for you to consider Main Street. And if you would give us your address and phone number, we'll have someone get in touch with you and let you know more about Main Street and what's going on in the life of Main Street. And one thing that's going on in the life of Main Street is a dinner on the grounds immediately following the service today. If you are visiting with us, please feel free to join us. We have plenty of food. That will be immediately following the service today. Those of you that are helping Skippy Rice in the gym, if you would please leave during the last hymn so that you can be first in line to be served for the dinner this afternoon. Members of the Board of Stewards are also reminded that we have a Board of Stewards meeting immediately following the service today, so if you're a member of the Board of Stewards, go to the Trinity Classroom before you go to the Fellowship Hall for lunch. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Welcome to Main Street. I'm wearing a lot of hats today, and this is a hat that I forgot. So I do apologize. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. We bless you, O God, with the spiritual gifts you have given us. We bless you, O God, with these gifts for the work of your church. We bless you, O God, with our hearts and our hands. We dedicate to you, O God, all that you have given us. Use it to bring healing to others and glory to your name. Amen. Seated and join me in the invocation that is printed in your bulletin. With many voices, we praise you, O God. In different ways, we serve you. As we assemble before you today, we pray that you would send your Spirit upon us and that you would take our differences and mold us into the unity of thanksgiving and praise. We pray that you would weave us and the gifts that we offer into a whole cloth of service that will blanket the world with your love, your true goodness, and your glory through Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Dwell, we pray, within our worship and within our hearts, that we may bless you and bring everlasting praise to your name. Amen.
Before we have our prayer time, I'm going to ask Minky Gray to come, who she and my wife Caroline just got back last night from Nicaragua, and she's going to give us a one-minute report of their mission activity there.
Well, we got back yesterday, and we were there for a week, and we went to orphanages and schools and did Bible school with them, and we did soccer camps, and it was an amazing experience. The kids would just run up to us like we had known them forever, and they were so welcoming and loving toward us. And like we would give them, you know, the Bible school lesson and activities to do, and they always wanted to give us something in return. They would, you know, try to, one little girl brought me flowers, and they would try to give us their necklace or bracelet, even though they didn't have anything else. The language barrier wasn't bad at all. We did have translators, but it's like they say everybody smiles in the same language, and that's so true, because you would just look at a kid and they would grin as big as they could, and it was wonderful. And the families that you would see there were all together. They always, no matter what they were going through, they always stayed in contact with each other, and you never saw a family apart from each other. It was an amazing experience to do that and see the culture that they lived out and get to know everyone there. It was just amazing. There's no words that can describe it. But Caroline and I would like to thank you for all your support. I received cards and emails, and all the donations that were given were wonderful help. So thank you very much.
And what she didn't say and what I didn't approve of was that they also rode a zip line 400 feet over an inactive volcano. And when they asked, how often do you change the cable on this ride, they said, whenever it breaks. Well, it was a good trip. They came back. As we look at our community concerns, we do have several and some updates. Cecil Browning was briefly in the hospital this past week. Pat Connell, Pauline Wilson, Flossie McMahon had a hip replacement. All of them are now out of the hospital. Phyllis Legg is recovering in the Morton Center at Wesley Commons. Joyce Bartless here today. Carol Bateman still in our prayers. Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, Kyle Bennett, Amanda Hinton, Ray Ballantyne, and Bette McCord Bly. I also want you to be in prayer for our annual conference, which begins meeting tonight and sets policy and funds programs and appoints ministers throughout our Conference of South Carolina. Please be in prayer for our meetings these coming days. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance and saying that one would come who would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We turn to you and then turn away to the shiny things of the world we desire. We turn to you and feel inspired and then we turn away and put out the fire. We hallow your name and then treat as hollow your name when times are tough, or we feel empty. We feel empty those times when we are far from you. Breathe again into us your Holy Spirit of life. Fill us again with the power to love and live as humans created in your image, as a family, as children of the eternal Father, not children of dust. Lord, we want to be holy. We want to be righteous. We want to be at peace in our hearts. Take away all that stands between us and you. Take away our arrogance, our conceit, our anger, our hurt, our pain, our self-centered world, and replace it with a vision of your kingdom. For thine is the kingdom, and nothing here matters eternally. Nothing here matches your glory. No passing fancy or fashion or celebrity. Your true glory is yours, and true worship belongs to you. We honor you, we follow you, we trust you forever. Lord, we do trust you. Help us live out that trust. And we love you. Help us live out that love. We accept your forgiveness and grace. Help us live out and share that forgiveness and grace. In Jesus' name. And in his name we lift up in silence the prayers of our hearts, our concerns, our confessions, our prayers for guidance, for overcoming doubt, and for each other. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are bold to pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have the children's time now. I'll ask the children to come forward for a special children's time with Steve Skinner, Dr. Steve Skinner.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning? As I look around over here, what do you see? A wheelbarrow. It looks like somebody's going on a treasure hunt. I hope many of y'all are coming on a treasure hunt next week. If you're going to Vacation Bible School, you're going to join the Adventures of the Treasure Seekers on a hunt for treasures. And as I was thinking about going on a treasure hunt, you know, it's something we all get excited about, particularly if we know we're going to find a treasure, and particularly if we know how we're going to find that treasure. I was thinking about what I'd like to take on a treasure hunt. The first thing I thought of, I'd like to have a map, a treasure map. Most treasure maps have an X where the treasure is hidden, and it tells you the way to get the treasure. It tells you where the danger spots are, maybe where the quicksand is to stay away from, where the mountains are that you have to climb. I thought, you know, God has promised us many treasures. You could jump over the mountain if you were really big or could jump really high. That's right. Well, God has promised us many treasures, and he's given us a treasure map. And that treasure map is the Bible. Basically, the Bible tells us where God has promised us treasures, and it tells us how to find them. It tells us specifically what we need to do to find those treasures. There are family treasures as well. It tells us how to avoid the dangers. It tells us when we might get in trouble. It tells us the direction we go. But the Bible, just like any other treasure map, is a map that you have to open up and use for it to do any good. You have to open it up, you have to read it, you have to study it, and you have to follow it, or it won't get you to where the treasure is. But sometimes even maps are hard to understand and to follow. And sometimes we get confused or don't understand what the map is trying to tell us, and we still get lost. So I thought the next thing I'd want if I was going on a treasure hunt was a guide. Someone that knew where the treasure was, maybe was there when the treasure was placed there, maybe knew the way, knew where the shortcuts were, knew where the danger spots were, and could help me get there. I got to thinking about it. God has given us a guide, too. Jesus promised that he would send us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also called the Counselor of Truth or the Spirit of Truth. And the Holy Spirit is our guide to finding God's treasures. He helps us to understand the map. He lets us know if what we're reading is true or not. He helps us avoid the dangers and pitfalls as we're going around through life. He lets us know if we're going the right direction or not. So I thought, that's a pretty good God. He's given us treasures. He's promised the treasures. He tells us how to find them. He's given us a map. And then he sent us a guide to help find the treasures. I thought that was pretty neat. So this week, think about that as y'all are hunting for treasures in Vacation Bible School. Can all of y'all now say a prayer with me? Dear God, thank you for your gift of Jesus. Thank you for your treasure map, the Bible. Thank you for the guide that you sent us, the Holy Spirit. Bless us with faith that we might seek your treasure and find your treasures. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our gifts, our offerings. Creator God, the earth and the fullness thereof all belong to you. We thank you for enough for every good cause and enough to meet our needs. We pray your blessings upon these returns, these tithes to your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, selected verses, beginning with chapter 15, verse 26. But when the counselor comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness to me. And you also are witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you of them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I do want to read the Pentecost story in brief from Acts chapter 2. Just kind of put us on keel for my brief message today. Hear now God's word from the second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others, mocking, said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Again, the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, we sing about the promised land very often, especially in the old hymns. A very few miles from here, you will pass through a community that has a sign saying, Promised Land. Now, I've been there, and that ain't what we're singing about. And I look a little further away to modern Israel and I say the same thing. That can't be what we're singing about. But there is a connection between the Promised Land and Pentecost and the fire that began in Acts 2. You know, in the Jewish calendar, nothing is more important than Passover. That's the sparing of death, the freedom from slavery and bondage in Egypt, and 50 days, it's important, 50 days after that is Pentecost. Now, that is the day of Jewish thanksgiving for the first fruits of the harvest. And also on that day of Pentecost, each year, along with the thanksgiving of the harvest of the first fruits, is recited a particular verse from Deuteronomy 26:3. And you are to say to the priest on that day, if you are an Orthodox Jew, "Today I declare to the Lord God that I have come into the land which the Lord swore to our ancestors." Now, there is an exacting parallel with Jesus' crucifixion and what happened that first Christian Pentecost. You know, Jesus, of whom John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." At Passover, Jesus died on the cross, and then 50 days later, at Pentecost, 120 believers were touched by the Spirit of God as an indication of the great harvest of everlasting life which Jesus had won. The Holy Spirit descended and the church was empowered and born that day. The same day that the worshipers were saying what they always said, "Today I declare to the Lord God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors." The 120 were the first of a vast harvest. And you and I are among that harvest, the first to have God's Holy Spirit with and within. Now this is new territory indeed. This is the Promised Land. Slavery and bondage in Egypt symbolize slavery and bondage to sin. And the Passover symbolized freedom from death through the blood of the Lamb. The new territory equals God within, making us new creatures, a new creation from the inside out. The Promised Land is not a place. It is arriving home with God. Remember, these disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were emphatically ordered by Jesus, "Stay." That's a command that my new dog does not yet understand. Stay. Jesus was saying, "Don't even try to carry on my ministry unless and until and after you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They waited. And on the old traditional Jewish harvest festival called Pentecost, something did happen. They waited in the city 10 days, and I'm sure they prayed and they talked about all that Jesus taught and the miracles and the conflicts with the Pharisees and His resurrection. And I can imagine they were asking, "Now what? I have risked a lot following Jesus. And Jesus was here, and then He was dead, and then He was here again, and then He ascended. Now what? What are we waiting for?" Pentecost answers, "Now what?" For them and for us. From the beginning, Genesis bespeaks God's desire to be in relationship with us. We were made to be in relationship with God. And from the beginning, we cast God out of our hearts and cast ourselves out of God's embrace. The entire Scripture, Old and New Testament, is the story of God wooing us and being exasperated with us and reminding us and warning us what we were made for God and for each other and for love and peace and unity of spirit. Egyptian slavery was a deep symbol and also a tortured reality of the pain of separation from God. And God's leading the children of Israel through the desert as a fire by night tells of our dependence upon God to guide us through this dark world. And the manna that they ate while wandering in the desert was a mere shadow of the true bread from heaven, which is Jesus Christ. He came to feed us in our souls, what we yearn for, and what we need to be healed and to grow in holiness and spiritual health. What we need is a spiritual embrace, not a physical place. We need a spiritual embrace, not a physical place. When Jesus spoke of a new birth and new life and new creation, He was speaking of God's power and God's initiative to take up residence in our hearts and to restore His original dream of who and what we should be. Paul wrote, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And all things have, the old has passed away and everything has become new." Pentecost is more than head knowledge of who Jesus was. It is a second creation, a new breathing of God's Spirit into the particles of dust we are, and a restoration of the consciousness and the ability to live a new life, to live as Jesus lived and to love as Jesus loved. Jesus told them not to leave Jerusalem because they were not yet ready, not yet new, not yet empowered, not yet equipped to carry on the kingdom building that Jesus had begun. Pentecost fulfills what Jeremiah longed for when he preached. He was speaking of God and he said, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." And it is also what the prophet Joel predicted. He said, "Afterward, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all people." God within us is the promised land. God, the Holy Spirit, still wants to live in us, fill us, and fire us up to do what? To live the life of Jesus in this world. And to be restored to God's original plan for us so that we can live before Him with clean hands and a pure heart. If you're not there yet, then today is a good day to begin. Or if you've committed and wandered off, then today is a good day to recommit. You're going to already be at the altar, already discerning the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and sets us free for new life. So today is a good day to begin. The power is for the church as a whole. The purpose of the Spirit is to empower the church for witness. I mean, every individual person has different feelings and experiences of God, but private experience is not the point. The point of God's Holy Spirit indwelling in God's people was and is for the entire church, not some private spiritual party off in a corner. We all are in this thing together. Of course we will be changed. And of course God and our hearts, active and powerful, will change the way we live in the world and the way we live with one another. We know that we need to be changed. And we know all the promised lands that we have sought and that we have bought were empty. If you want that interchange, if you want that peace and ability to love and forgive that Jesus promised, if you want to see yourself as part of something larger and more important than private faith and feelings, then come forward today and actively pray and ask God to enter further into your heart, into your soul, into your life. Ask God to enter past those locked doors that we keep God out of. Ask God, who always has knocked at the door of your heart, to enter all the way in. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." The comfort of the Holy Spirit is real. The peace of the Holy Spirit is real. The courage and the power of the Holy Spirit is real, but the purpose of all of these is to give us a firm foundation from which to witness our faith in the world. This is not our church. This is not our church. It is God's church. We did not start this fire. God did. He led long ago by the pillar of fire through darkness, and God gave the fire at Pentecost. And I know that I cannot, by my words alone, fire up your faith, but God can. The fire of the Spirit still burns and can melt away the chaff and can thaw out icy cold hearts and make us humans in the image of God, the way God intended us to be from the very beginning. And so come forward as I call you for communion in just a few moments. Come forward to the one who made us and become what we were made to be. God's church, God's light, God's fire in the darkness of this world. Amen. I ask you to turn with me to page 12. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Let us offer one another signs of reconciliation and love. Let us pass the peace. Join me at the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We
lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is a right and good and joyful praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who comes to me shall not thirst." Arise and go in peace. And may the bread of heaven nourish your soul into everlasting life. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Arise and go in peace, and in his service may you find perfect freedom. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Arise and go in peace. And may the light of the world shine on your pathway and in your heart forever. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Arise and go in peace, and may you ever walk in the way of life and truth. Amen. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Arise and go in peace, and may the glory of your life be the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Arise and go in peace, and may your abundant life in Christ overflow in deeds of love and service. Amen. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. Arise and go in peace, and by your fruits may all know that you are disciples of our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Arise and go in peace, and may the true light shine in your mind with the knowledge of the love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, so there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Arise and go in peace, and may the voice of the Good Shepherd be your comfort in sorrow and your guide in happiness. Amen. Jesus said, "I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Arise and go in peace, and may the Spirit of truth be your companion and your guide forever." Amen.
We will conclude by singing number 557. Please stand. Before our benediction and blessing, and it will be both because we are having dinner on the grounds, I have an announcement to make, and I'm not sure how this is going to be perceived, but it's one of those leadership decisions that I think I need to do. Where is Dr. Mark Roberts? We are right there. You are. See, this is how far I can see. I don't have my glasses on. Mark may call an administrative board meeting or a board of stewards meeting. I may call one. I'm not sure about the discipline about uncalling one. We were to discuss the wedding policy today, but we also have the Family Ministries Committee, which has a Family Ministries dinner on the grounds call. I perceive that we will not be able to quickly pass this. I think there will be discussion. I had a great deal of discussion from the worship committee in writing this morning. And if we discuss for an hour or more, I will miss the dinner on the grounds. And so will the rest of the Board of Stewards. And so could we postpone until next week after church, please? And we'll have more time to discuss it. We may be completely out of order. Jim Medley, are we completely out of order? We are completely out of order. Then we can meet in the Trinity classroom and someone can vote to table the Oh, well, we are? Okay, well, I'll defer it. All right. Benediction and blessing, fellowship time to honor the work of the family committee. This is not a fundraiser. This is just a fun time and overeat and make it up later. And we'll make up the meeting later next Sunday after church. Please forgive me, Mark. I know we want to get this issue settled, but I don't want it to be rushed. And today it will be rushed. And we'll miss lunch. Let us pray. Father God, bless our fellowship together, bless our worship, our service, bless our relationship with you and with others, bless our conversation around the table as we eat, and bless us to your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm sorry.